You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 233 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast, as Ray would say, brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, April 29th of 2020. It's Saturday Tuesday. I don't know. Saturday Tuesday. Wednesday. April 29th of 2020, and I here in Kansas City, I'm your host, J.R. Cook. As you can tell, I don't know what day it is, and I just realized I had Ray muted too, so you didn't get to hear him ask what day it was. So,
why did you mute me instinctively? That sounds like something you normally do.
So I mute you during the intro because you have a tendency to mess it up, and then I forgot to unmute you.
Hey, did you when we sang the theme a cappella? That was our most well-received episode when we sang the theme song a cappella.
It was a received episode. I'm not sure about well-received. So,
amen. All feedback is good feedback, right? Wait.
Yes.
No, wait. Never mind.
Something like that. But anyway, as you can hear, both of my co-hosts are here coming all the way from New Hampshire, both of them. We got Mr. Ray C. and Mr. Danny Donuts. I'm going to start with you, Ray. How's your week been? What have you been up to?
I wake up, I eat, I exercise for a little bit. And by exercise, I mean like go for a walk down the street. So I get outside and, you know, not stay in my room all day. And then I proceed to go up to my room and turn on the stream and play Hearthstone for 8 hours. And then I go to bed and then I do it again and again and again. It's actually been really cool, though, to see, like, the growth of streaming and, like, what actually happens if you decide to do it more than once a month.
Yeah. you actually get people that want to watch you if you do it consistently. Who would have known?
I mean, I wouldn't have.
Obviously. You just found it out.
I know. It's pretty crazy.
How about you, Danny? What have you been up to these last couple weeks?
I've been doing work, but things are starting to taper off a little bit, so I'm definitely keeping busy, playing a lot of different games, and Hearthstone is enjoyable again, so I'm having a lot of fun. I'm actually signed up for a THL league, so there's a wild league that I'm playing in, and doing a lot of prep for that, and it's been a lot of fun. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, like, testing lineups and doing all that stuff. Something that I really enjoy doing.
Yeah. The last time we did a show, though, I remember a very different answer here. Let me pull that. Let me see if I can find that clip real quick here. Hi, I'm Mr. Danny Donuts, and I hate Hearthstone. I hate Wild, and I am quitting the game forever. Thanks. But Danny, that didn't happen, though, right?
Hey, you're taking words out of context there. I said I was temporarily withholding my Hearthstone playability until the game was fixed.
And then what did they do?
They fixed it.
Yeah, like 2 days later.
I think that we reached the right people.
We did it, team. We fixed it. All thanks to the Well Met podcast. Hearthstone is fixed. You're welcome.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, Danny's quitting Hearthstone. We have to fix something.
Yep.
It was all because of you, Danny. If you did not threaten to quit the game, no change would have ever happened. I am convinced.
I gotta start threatening to quit a little bit more frequently then.
Apparently. I don't know, man. Rogue, Demon Hunter, it's still a little sketchy, I'm not gonna lie.
Let's see, as for me, I've just been, like I said, I don't even know what day it is anymore. That's why I started. I was like, it's Saturday, Tuesday.
Yo, but like, actually, what know. Day is it, though? I genuinely don't know. I don't actually know.
It is Wednesday.
Survivor was on tonight. It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday, Ray. It is Wednesday. Okay. For everybody that's watching Ray's stream, it is Wednesday. So, No, I enjoyed the last 2 weeks. I've been playing some Hearthstone as well. I'm not going to become legend like a lot of our listeners did this month. I just haven't got a chance to play that much. But I've done very well for myself, in my opinion. I played played a lot of Demon Hunter to start with. Played a lot of Hunter as well, trying to get Face Pig to work. And I if you don't know what Face Pig is, that's what I've been naming the deck. It's basically trying to get Stone Boar Tusk one turn kill, basically. Just making him bigger and duplicating him, and then just hitting someone's face for 20 plus damage with two mana is pretty awesome. I tried to get that to work and couldn't. And then I found out later that it's actually a deck that's decent. At least that's what you were telling me, Ray.
I said I lost to it on the ladder.
Oh, okay. And so that means it's decent. That means it's decent.
I've lost to a lot of weird things. I lost to OTK Zoo thingy.
What?
I don't know. I also misplayed at least 20 times during that game to lose, but I still lost to it. It played like the imp dude that buffs things, and it played like every single charge minion in the game.
Yeah.
Like boars and Murloc Mans and Wolf Guy, all the staples.
And then lately I've been playing that Paladin Murloc deck. That's I'm having decent results with that right now. I've enjoyed playing that deck as well. I have to say, like, even though I haven't been able to play a ton, that I feel like the game right now is just feels like it's in a decent spot where I'm enjoying playing multiple decks right now. And that's from a fairly casual player perspective. I don't know if you guys feel the same. I don't know if Wilds feels the same, or if the level of play you're at, Ray, feels the same. That's how I feel right now.
So it's actually really ironic that you say that, because that is how a lot of people feel. But instead of feeling, or instead of that feeling good, for some reason, people don't like that. Like, okay, a lot of top players have been complaining that there's too many decks.
Wait, what?
Really?
Yeah. like, it's so weird.
There's too much variety.
That, no, that's literally something
that I never thought I would hear.
About Hearthstone, for sure.
Right.
No, a lot of top pros have been saying that they're like, there's no like best deck, or there's no, there are clear best decks, but like there's so many things you can play against that it's like, it feels like a matchup RNG more so than like learning a deck and like becoming the best at it. It feels like the meta is like too all over the place to a lot of people, and there's not enough consistency in the decks because there's just a lot of decks just lack draw potential and stuff like that. I don't know. But that's something I've seen on Twitter, and it is really bizarre to me that people are like complaining that there is too many decks that are viable.
I just realized something that I need on my soundboard is the world's smallest violin right now, because that just blows my mind a little bit. Like, that is something that I never thought I would hear with Hearthstone. Now, I guess I get it coming from the top players who are just like, man, this is, you know, very difficult for us to navigate through, because I understand what you're saying, where it's like, you know, it's matchup RNG. But at the same time, that just feels like really healthy for the game.
One would think that, yes.
All I have to do is, like, my response to them would be just get good. They already are, but get better.
I was like, I don't think you can say that to these people. Like, they already are pretty good.
Well, still, get good.
You hear that, Orange? JR's telling you to get good, brother.
I am happily right now, Platinum 5, and I am telling some of the best players in the game to go get good. So, there you have it.
All right.
Words I never would have expected a month ago.
Hey, man, I never thought that you would ever hear the words Racy streaming consistently.
Oh, that's true as well. 2020 is weird, guys. It's wild.
Like, what?
Yeah.
That's wild. Like, what? What world is this? I don't even know anymore. Like, the other day, Cora literally was like saying how I was more consistent than her, and that this, like, this timeline is just so foreign.
Everything's got turned upside down. Everybody's staying inside, We got this pandemic going. The businesses are closed down. We don't have sports going on, and Ray C is streaming consistently. What the heck?
I don't understand it either, man.
And like, people are complaining that Hearthstone is too much variety.
It's true. I'm not making this up. Like, you can go on Twitter, go look at like Orange Fino.
Well, people are gonna complain about everything, though. If there was too little variety, they complain about that. It's just a different person complaining about it each time.
Yeah.
It's still weird. Like, which way you put it, it's still such a foreign thing. But 2020 is, I guess, everything is all over the place and nothing matters. What is it? What's that like quote where it's like the points are imaginary and like nothing matters or whatever it is?
Points are made up. Everything's made up and the points don't matter.
Yeah, it's from Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's Drew Carey.
Okay, okay. Yep. That's what 2020 feels like to me. It's like everything's made up and nothing matters.
That's pretty much been it. That's been this whole year, right? So, but yeah, we do have a little bit of news beyond the fact that Ray is streaming and Danny's playing Hearthstone again after retiring for 2 days.
Welcome back on your retirement, by the way. Yeah.
Hey, I'm just like Michael Jordan. I played baseball for a season real quick. There might have been a gambling shenanigans scandal going on behind the scenes, but I'm back playing for the Bulls. We're all good.
Have you watched that Last Dance documentary?
No, I'm planning on actually watching that this weekend. I'm really excited to see it.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard lots of great stuff about it. I need to go watch it. I loved watching Michael Jordan growing up. Like, I don't watch basketball anymore at all. But when Michael Jordan was on, that's, oh man, I don't know why. He's bigger than life. So, going back to Hearthstone. So there's a handful of like news items I wanted to get over real quick. The biggest thing is you have until May 4th to get this Year of the Dragon bundle. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this just super quick is because if you don't have it yet, like this is actually a pretty good deal. For $30, you get 45 packs, and 15 of those packs are like this Year of the Dragon pack, and those cards can come from anything from Year of the Dragon. And then you get 10 Rise of Shadows packs, 10 Saviors of Old Doom packs, and 10 Descent of Dragons packs as well. And what's cool about this is, let's say you're a returning player. Let's say you haven't played at all this year and during the Year of the Dragon. This, like, the pity timers work on these packs as well. So you're going to be getting legendaries, like, super quick. Keep in mind that they have the... Not only do the pity timers work with this, but the new, like, no duplication protection that they put in work with this as well. So definitely go check that out. I need to remember to go order that. $30, May 4th is when that ends. It seems like a pretty decent deal. Anything you guys wanted to talk about that, or did I pretty much cover it?
That pretty much covers it. I mean, it helps me be able to play on Asia. That's like exactly what I needed.
Nice.
To be able to play competitively and like actually get to a good enough deck without spending an arm and a leg.
Yeah, nice.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I find that the new like protection duplicate, the duplicate protection has helped a ton. Like, I love that feature.
It's really solid on epics. That's one thing that I've found where a lot of times I would get pissed off when I would get dumb epics, because there's a lot of stupid epics that you can get.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that now you're limited to only getting two.
Yeah. I have spent so much less on this expansion than I've ever spent, and feel like I'm in a really good place in the game. It's kind of cool. Another thing I never thought Hearthstone would have done, right? 2020 is weird, guys.
It is.
Yeah. But beyond that, Danny, we already talked about this a little bit. Wild, there's been some balance changes. Some of it has affected Wild. We'll get into the ones that affect Standard here in a bit. These happened nearly 2 weeks ago, like, as I said, 2 days after the last show that we did. So can you talk us a little bit about what Wild is looking like now and what changes seem to have affected it the most?
Sure. So the two changes that really helped out a lot were the Blood Bloom and the Open the Waygate changes. The standard ones had a bit of an effect. The bird, Rest in Peace, really shut that card out of the wild meta entirely, but it really wasn't seeing too much play. Blood Bloom really killed any of the Darkest Hour Warlock deck, so that no longer is a thing. But Mechathune Warlock did adapt. There is now a version of Mechathune Warlock that runs Kel'Thas and Dalmaster Dorian that you run Plot Twist, and then you get your Cataclysm for free because your Dalmaster Dorian pulls out your Mechathune, your Kel'Thas, and your all your other stuff. And with one other spell, typically you have like a Mortal Coil or a Defile or something. You play that first. But ultimately, you're able to play your Cataclysm for free. So there is currently a way around playing Blood Bloom for Mechathune Warlock, so that deck didn't die. It's actually come back. It's probably a little bit stronger. But the main culprit, the main focus of all the Twitter hate and all of the other stuff was Cyclone Quest Mage. And Open the Waygate got nerfed from 6 ticks to 8 ticks. You now need to play 8 random spells. The deck is still strong. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to go and talk a little bit about this, but I've been playtesting a lot of specific matchups for this wild league that I'm playing in. And I've found that specifically aggro matchups, which you normally would lose because the Cyclone Mage would get the quest done, typically turn 5, turn 6, it extends the game out 2 or 3 turns. And I probably played somewhere between 70 to 80 games of aggro versus Cyclone Mage at this point to try to see if we could counter it. And we probably found around 30% of our games, we won that game as the aggro deck as opposed to the Cyclone Mage, because explicitly because the quest was not complete 6 versus 8. So it seems that it slowed the deck down significantly, which is really solid. It shuts down control decks, but it's at a point where you can specifically target the deck now, which makes it a lot more realistic on ladder, where you can specifically queue up decks to counter it, which was, you were a coin flip at best prior to this, which was rather frustrating. But you've seen less of that, and you've seen more aggro appear on the ladder, which I think is really healthy.
Yeah, I think you said, if I remember before the show, just from playing around with it, I think you said something about 30 games out of 100 that you had played would have went the other way if this effect was still in place.
Somewhat around there, yeah. I'd say it's about 30% more games have resulted, like, explicitly you would win the game as opposed to being close if it was the other way around. I think it was fairly close on that, and I'm actually pretty impressed. Besides going through and changing how, like, Sorcerer's Apprentice worked, which would be the other nerf that you do, right, in that deck, I think that this is probably a very solid change, and I think that people were definitely overreacting at one point, saying, oh my god, this isn't going to change anything, and I'm going to have to disagree. I'm going to say that it's definitely gone through and changed the game up significantly. It's still probably the best deck, but I think the distance between it and the second best deck, something like a Demon Hunter or let's say Galakrond Warrior, I think that it's very close now. I think that they're like, you can rotate back and forth on which one's the actual strongest deck right now, as opposed to it being the front runner by like a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw, is it board controller, whoever the wild player is,
control the board.
I remember him saying like, oh, the games where I played quests, like the change didn't matter at all, any of the games. And I feel like when people say that kind of stuff so early on, it is results based. Right. Mm-hmm. Like they are saying, like, in those games where they won, like the quest change didn't matter at all, like, and it never mattered in the games. But like, I think if there is a nerf like that significant, eventually you'll realize that, like, OK, there are more scenarios where I am losing because of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Change that happened.
I also think that the strongest decks prior to the nerf are no longer the strongest decks going into this. I think that The decks that you were trying to counter before were just straight up control decks, and you were hoping that you could outlast 32 burst damage when they got their extra turn. I think that it shifts the polarity around to now you're trying to outrace the deck. You're trying to go through and burn them out before they can finish their quest, which wasn't a realistic possibility beforehand. So right. that's where I think that it's really changed. And I think that once people start figuring that out more, maybe just... I think that Wild is a little bit slow to adapt to changes like that, so that might be something that's coming around the corner. That's definitely one thing that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. And there's just also a lot less people playing Wild in general than Standard, so your meta's not going to evolve as rapidly mm-hmm. as Ars will, which is fine. That's not like a bad thing or anything. It's just like a thing that exists.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Well, although, with this whole ladder change, there's been a significant number of... there's a significant amount of more Wild Legend players. I think we're currently at around 4,000 or 5,000, as opposed to like we had periods where there was barely 500. So I think that something changed significantly when they're doing the ladder change. I think that there's a lot of people now who are Legend who were not Legend in the past. That's just a note. I don't know if that's similar in Standard, but I also know that on the Chinese server, this is one thing. I'll segue into another thing that I wanted to talk about. I ended up on a call with a bunch of Chinese Wild players, and their meta developed completely different than ours after this nerf. Like, they're playing like completely different lists, and like Demon Hunter is their strongest deck by far, which is really funny. I don't think their Cyclone Mage is optimized, and I shared our list with them, and they shared their Demon Hunter list with me, and I think that theirs is probably better than the way we build ours. So it's really interesting to see that, how they develop things that are in a different perspective to ours. And I think that they found something that we didn't find, and I think we found something that they didn't find.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's interesting. And it's weird because it's Wild too. So it's like that information, like for Standard, like we have a bunch of Twitter accounts now that are just like, oh, I am a Chinese player. Here's the lists that are on Weibo right now that are doing well.
Right.
Like, you probably don't have that for Wild just because there's so much less people.
Well,
yeah,
I think, Danny, a while back you said over in China, Wild is huge, right? Is that still the case, or do you know?
Oh, yes, by far. I think that right now in Wild, they have over 10,000 Wild players in China at the moment in Legend. So, I mean, a percentage, I think there's a lot in Standard at the moment. I don't think it's as... I know that Wild was dominant for a couple months. There might have been a Wild event going on, and there were just a lot more Wild players in Legend than there were Standard players. But there are still a significant amount of Wild players that I think it even trumps what they have in Standard for the three servers that are not China. So it's interesting to see that. I'm just surprised that we have, I mean, I've been playing against the Cyclone Mage for a while, and their list is very, very strange. They're running things like a Lunith and Research Project, and I mean, maybe it's just because of the way that their meta is set up, and it's like they're just playing against a lot of aggro, so they have to outrace you, but maybe we're a lot more control heavy of a meta just generally, and that's why things turned out the way they are. But the decks are completely different, and I said, hey, this is something that, like, when I showed them my list, they were very confused. They were saying they never thought about using Flame Waker in the matchup against aggro, which was kind of surprising.
I also think at least on our side, we have a lot of players that had hit Legend for the first time in Standard, and it hit it fairly early. And I think a lot of that is, it seems that the ranking system is a little bit quicker to navigate, at least this time around. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be the same next month or not. Maybe it will be. But I know that in our Discord, we've had a lot of first-time Legends that listen to the show. That were excited that they hit Legend this month. And I know some people that had hit Legend early in the month. Maybe, and it also just could be we're all quarantined and playing a lot more. And I know that a lot of people after that decided, I'm going to go play Wild now. And I know people that went and hit Legend in Wild after they hit Legend in Standard. Deck Tech was one of them, and he wrote an article on Blizz Pro about it. on his escapade.
I have some light reading now.
Yeah. Yeah, so on his escapade into Wild and hitting Legend in there. So definitely go check that out, because I think that's part of it too, is I think a lot of people are playing Wild right now, and I'm sure that the ranking systems have kind of helped with that.
Yeah.
And the rewards that you get with them, even though you don't get a double up on them, but still, if I don't know. I just, for me, I think the ranking system changes have helped me want to play more without getting down as much, without feeling as bad.
Because you have those, I don't know, the numbers feel like saying you're a Diamond Hearthstone player has to feel better than saying you're a rank five, rank five player, right? Like, Diamond just sounds better than saying rank five. Like, I don't know why, but...
And everything's a lot more granular, that's for sure. So someone could go in and, like, rank, like, the equivalent of rank five Diamond or whatever is, what that's rank three normally. So it's like... Every rank that you get is, it's a smaller sliver than what it was in the past. So it's like, oh, well, I'll just push from rank. It's easier to move up the ranks, where it was like, oh, I'm rank 3 2 stars as opposed to rank 3 0 stars. And then, like, that's a whole rank in this mode. So it gives you more motivation. All right, I'll play until I hit rank 4, and you'll go and you'll get 3 stars there. And it's like, the breakpoints are a lot smoother. So I think that incentivizes people to play a little bit more, just because they're like, I'll just push to the next level. I find myself doing that when I play TFT, and it's like, oh, well, I'm currently plat 4. I want to hit Diamond. And it's like, I'll play a little bit more just to hit that threshold specifically. Yeah. And then I'll play to hit the next threshold as I go through, as opposed to the threshold being fairly spread out.
Right. Like, I would find it either, like, if I was making a push and I was able to play more, I would have probably found it way easier to try to push. Like, if I was rank 3 Diamond, I'm like, okay, well, let's see if I can hit rank 2 Diamond. And once I get there, it's like, all right, well, let's go ahead and see if I can hit rank 1 Diamond, because it's not that far away. While I'm here, let's see if I can hit Legend, right? I'm finding that as well. Like, right now I'm at like rank 2 Platinum, and I'm like, all right, by the end of the month, let's see if I can just hit Diamond and be happy with that. And I haven't played a ton to get there, but I've enjoyed the ride, even on large losing streaks that I've had on playing goofy decks like Face Pig and things like that. And I also like it that you don't feel as punished when you hit those rank floors, because before it was like rank 15, rank 10, rank 5. Now you have a bunch of different floors that you don't have to worry about, like, dropping below, because it's every 5 and 10 of every division.
I think it just makes it more enjoyable for casual players too, to be able to tell their friends, I'm plat, gold, silver, diamond, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But then they get Legend and they realize they're rank 100,000 Legend, and all of a sudden you no longer want to tell your friends that anymore. You're just like, what rank are you? I'm legend. Yeah, what rank are you? Don't worry about it. I'm Legend.
No, I will wear that with pride. I am number 251,025.
Gotta throw in that 25, man. No, that's actually a thing. There's like, I think there's like 100, dude, it's crazy. I saw somebody at like, I don't even know how many there are, but like, it was some insane number. It, like, I was like, what in the world? Like, how are there that many people playing Hearthstone right now? I don't get it.
If but, Olivia like, Munn is playing Hearthstone right now, everybody is playing Hearthstone right now, right?
Apparently.
Is it bad that I don't know who that is?
Did you see that? She responded to Darok or whatever.
Yeah. With the,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I, Danny, I'll be honest, I don't fully know who she is either, other than she is an actress, or a celebrity who's been around for a while and has a lot of followers and stuff. And she started playing Hearthstone, and it's been kind of a big deal in the last week.
And she said she liked Galakrond Priest, and that Galakrond Priest made her happy. That's what really turned me on to her. I'm not going to lie.
That, like, seems like the main sticking point.
Yeah.
But there are some other changes that affected Standard as well. I would say probably the biggest one was Kel'Thas Sunstrider, moving from 6 mana to 7. I personally have not seen that card as much as what I used to, and I'm not as annoyed by it as much as what I was.
Did that really impact Standard? Because, I mean...
Like, Druid is still a thing, for sure. It only affected the OTK Demon Hunter deck, which was actually a problem, so I do think it affected Standard in the sense that it took that deck out of the meta, but... For Druid, they don't care. 7-6 mana, it's all the same.
Are you guys ready for this? It made it stronger in Wild because now it can get hit off of Juicy Psych Melon.
Yep.
So I mean, like, there are a ton of decks now that run Juicy Psych Melon, Maligos, Kel'Thas. So the Maligos Druid is now, I mean, it's still an experimentation. I don't think it has any like solid ground in tier one or tier two, but going forward, that's something to keep on your radar. Like, there are people who are making meme decks with it so far, but it's something that has potential with Maligos Druid. So I mean, I find that funny where there are a lot of cards that when they get nerfed just due to the way that Wild's set up and how some of these power cards are, like with Gen and Baku, when Alisiana got bumped from what was she before? She was 8, was it 8 to 9? I think
it was 8 to 9. Yeah.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden, like, she's run an Odd Warrior. So, like, because of Gen and Baku, there are certain cards that when they get nerfed for Standard, they actually get playable in Wild because they hit into a specific polarity, or there's a card that's revolving around tutoring a specific, like, number card and all that stuff. I find that very interesting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Kel'Thas is, it didn't really impact Wild. I mean, you have your OTK Druid stuff happening one turn later, but it has a little bit more utility being able to tutor it out quicker.
Yeah.
Right.
Some of the other changes was Bad Luck Albatross going from 3 mana to 4 mana.
Rest in peace, the homie.
Frenzied Fellwing going from 3 attack, 3 health to 3 attack, 2 health.
Good.
Both of those I feel... I don't see as much at all. I don't see Bad Luck Albatross at all anymore.
No, that, like, Res Priest kind of just became not a thing anymore once that happened. I tried to make it work, and I don't think it actually has to. The Bad Luck Albatross definitely was, like, core. Like, I found myself every single time I played the deck, I was like, okay, we're trying to, like, what are we looking for? Bad Luck Albatross into Psycho Pump every matchup, every game. And without that, it's like, okay, now what are we looking for? Like, there is no proactive plays that we have. It's just a completely reactive deck until you can actually get to the later turns of the game. And then at that point, against a lot of decks, you just die. Like, against Demon Hunter, they don't need to have minions on the board to kill you.
Right.
They just kill you from whatever they feel like killing you from.
Yep. I still see Frenzied Fellwing every once in a while, but not as often as I used to. So that's seems to have done its trick a little bit. But once we get into, like, the actual Demon Hunter nerfs, like Altruis the Outcast, like, it went from 3 mana, 3 attack to 2 health to 4 mana, 4 attack, 2 health. After you play the left or right most card in your hand, deal 1 damage to all enemies. As far as I'm concerned, you can just take that card out of the game right now, please. I'm just tired of that card. Like, I don't feel like that nerf did anything. Like, that card is still annoying as heck.
It's funny. That card got nerfed to Obliterant because the only Demon Hunter deck that's good in Wild is Odd Demon Hunter when you're running Baku.
Oh.
And the polarity switch on that really just killed it.
That is funny.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, Skull of Gul'dan, like, killing that one really hampered the deck, but it's still the strongest Odd, it's still the best Demon Hunter deck there is.
Mm, yeah.
That's interesting.
Battle Fiend going from 1 attack from 2 attack to 1 attack. I still see, like, I die a little slower, I guess.
yeah. I mean, that's a good, like, so that change, really, I only truly see it come into play, like, in a big way when I play Moarg or, like, a 2/4 against it on turn 2. And now all of a sudden they can't hero power and make that trade. So it becomes really awkward because now I can bump into it and then I get to, like, just heal up my damage. And now all of a sudden I have a board. Whereas, like, in previous games against that, I would just not have that.
Yeah. So in the grand scheme of things, this was actually a really good balance change, right? It just to me, it's like, whatever. But in circumstances like that, yeah. Those are the kind of balance changes you want to see, because you don't want to see a card usually get completely destroyed. You would like to see, you know, playable, just not as strong as what it used to be. On the flip side of that, I sit here and complain about Altruist the Outcast. And
that's different, though. Like, that card, the mana doesn't really, like, it does matter, but the reason why it's so good is because the skull reduction making things cost zero. It's just like, you have those insane turns, and once it becomes turn, like, turn 10, stuff like that, like, costing one extra mana a lot of the time just doesn't matter that much. It can. It definitely is less of a potent threat early, but it's still so frustrating to lose games where you have a giant board of minions, you're at a really high life total, and then all of a sudden, like, after they skull, they just go Altruist the Outcast, clear your whole board, deal 10 damage to your face, and now all of a sudden you don't clear their board, you lose. Even if you do clear their board,
yeah,
like, you're still in a rough spot. It's those situations that just make you just want to bash your head against the wall over and over again.
Yeah. Then we got Glaivebound Adept, which was a 7 attack, 4 health. Now it's 6 attack, 4 health.
That's still a joke.
It's like, I didn't understand this one. I'm just like, you're not playing it for the attack. You're playing it because it's doing 4 damage on the battle cry. In the old days, I would have said this was a buff, because now Big Game Hunter can't. Big Game Hunter can't target it. Right?
Maybe it, like, I don't know. Like, that change literally doesn't matter, because if you don't kill it, that one attack is like, you're still taking way too much damage from it, right? Like,
right.
If
and it gives you one less out against Zephyrus, right? Like, if you're playing a deck that's a Reno deck, Zephyrus would often BGH, because that's a classic card. And now all of a sudden you can't use it.
Right.
I mean, I never thought of that one, but
we play a lot more Reno decks than you guys do. So I know Zephyrus like the back of my hand at this point. I know what cards it'll offer where. I probably played the most Zephyrus anyone knows.
The most Zephyrs anyone knows, Mr. Danny Donut.
I'm the opposite. I know nothing about this Zephyrs lifestyle you live.
Beyond that, the Warlock Sacrificial Pact, where they have changed it to, instead of destroying a demon, you're now just destroying a friendly demon. No more.
I'm glad they kept it that way, by the way, because in Wilds, you use the Sack Pact on your own Voidcaller fairly frequently. And the tech that you saw against Demon Hunter, sure, there was a good way to get rid of it. But I'm glad that you can still target your own Voidcallers with it. I'm glad they didn't go through and just increase the mana cost or something like that.
Right. The only thing that I am sad about with this is it doesn't matter anymore, because no one plays the card anymore.
Juraxxus.
The interaction with Juraxxus. Like, you could kill someone with Sacrificial Pact if they became Juraxxus, but you can't do that anymore, and I am sad.
So
that was one of my favorite things. When that was discovered, I'm just like, I saw it was hilarious, and one of those things in the game that I just thought was really cool. And
does that give Juraxxus some playability at some point? Does that make it so that in the future Juraxxus is a viable Warlock card again, at least for standard?
Right now.
I don't think right now, but I'm thinking.
I don't think Sacrificial Pact ever made Juraxxus not viable.
Well, no, I'm just saying that because whenever you played up against a Zephyrus deck, that in and of itself, I think, would ultimately shut down anyone who's thinking about playing Juraxxus as a card. I remember when people would like play Handlock and you'd play Juraxxus in your deck.
Right.
Like, now all of a sudden Handlock is just like, well, I can't do that. I'm just going to play Alexstrasza instead, where like it was Alexstrasza or Juraxxus you were playing on 9.
Yeah, I just think the power level of cards got so great that Juraxxus just wasn't that good anymore.
There's no reason to, like, also putting yourself to 15 health right now is so scary. Like, all these new cards like kill you out of everywhere, but like, they, you don't think you're going to die and then you die. Like, yeah. the reach that's in the game right now, the burst potential is so absolutely insane that you just, it is crazy.
Yeah. And then the final change we didn't talk about was Librium of Justice. I actually got a buff from costing 6 mana to now 5 mana. And once again, no one plays Librium, so who cares? So
that's what I'm talking about. Librium of Justice. Let's go, baby. No, nobody cares.
So, but I liked these changes. Overall, I liked these changes. And I liked the changes that they did, like, very quickly after this set was launched as well. There's still some stuff that doesn't make me happy, but I feel like that's nitpicking as well. Because if I look at Hearthstone today versus how I felt about Hearthstone 1 year ago, even 2 years ago, I am very happy with where the game is at right now and where the game has come in the last 2 years. Because I know when we were doing the show 2 years ago, even, like, we were just like, man, Hearthstone is just not in a good place. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that anymore. I feel like Hearthstone's in a very good place right now.
For sure. Even let's say a year ago, I think 2 years is a little far back. I think we were at a point where a year ago, everything started ramping up. You had the new dev team come in, all of the different, like the month in changes, which we're probably going to get hit with one of them sometime in about, I don't know, 3 to 4 weeks. We'll have a change come in, kind of like when they brought back wild cards to standard, or they had the buffs, or they had their own little side expansion. Like, all of that came in. So I wouldn't be surprised if something's coming up soon.
Yeah, I would not be surprised either. We're still easily, 2-3 months away from, 3 months at least away from whatever the next expansion is.
We have a new format coming out soon, right?
Or something next expansion, yeah.
I'm excited for that one.
I am too.
I'm hoping that it's some sort of like commander type thing for Magic. That would be really cool, where you play 60 cards, a Reno style deck, any card allowed. That's my dream.
I would love to see some kind of multiplayer similar to with that, right? So the thing about Commander or EDH, as it was called back in the day on Magic, is it was a multiplayer format as well. It's single player, but it really excelled in a multiplayer format. And I would love to see that, especially since we saw, a semi-multiplayer format with Battlegrounds.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on 8-player lobbies for Battlegrounds. That's going to be a fun time when that ends up happening.
Same.
I think that that's something that I remember. I don't know where I heard it, but they were working on that. I don't remember where I heard that, though.
Yeah, I think Dean Ayala mentioned it either on Reddit or on Twitter. It was somewhere on the social medias that he had mentioned it, or it might have been in an interview. Either way, they did confirm that is coming. And in fact, my interview that I did with Mike Donay and why can't I remember his name? He's the creative director at Ben Thompson. When I did the interview with them at BlizzCon there, I had mentioned something about 8-player lobbies too. And they said, yeah, this is something we want to make happen. It's just right now, it's a little difficult because of the way that the game is created. And we just didn't have enough time to put it in right now. We wanted to get this mode out, with, whatever was minimally viable. And then, start working on some of these features like an 8-player lobby later. But they said it's definitely going to come. They want to make it work. It's just was going to take some time.
Because that's still one of my favorite things to do. Even some of the players who I know play TFD, they don't play competitively. They don't play ranked. They'll only play like non-ranked. They'll play casually.
Yeah.
And they'll go through and we'll get 8-player lobbies very easily. And we'll go through and the trash talk that happens in those Discord calls is hilarious. Yeah. I have a lot of fun doing those.
I would have
you say casual.
I did say casual, yes.
Disgusting.
I know, right? I limit myself to 2 casual games a month.
I would have so much fun if we could get some of the other podcasts together and just like duke it out in Battlegrounds against each other when they come out with that. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Be fun for us because we're not filthy casual. I mean, what?
Neither are they. There's a lot of good podcasts. No,
I know, I know, I know.
Yeah,
but you gotta get if you're gonna play casual, you gotta get the trash talk starting now.
Right.
It builds up. It's like a grand finale. Like you just trash talk each other so much that once it finally happens, it's a thing. You know.
Yeah.
You can't be nice to each other. Like that's boring. That would be like, I don't know. That would be like going into an MMA fight and then like during the interview, if they were just like, yo, I love you, man. I love you too, bro. Let's have a good fight. Let's try not to hurt each other too much. That would just be boring.
Well, you know, I grew up in Iowa.
To splash that in a little bit, I think that if Conor McGregor said that in the middle of one of these things, I think people would freak out.
Yeah, no, well, okay, now, like, yes, obviously. I apologize for absolutely nothing.
Oh, man. The next thing I think that we wanted to kind of go over is how I mentioned this the last show, where we're probably doing shows once every 2 weeks at this point for a little while, until things kind of get back to normal, just because just the stress in the world, the anxiety of the world. I think things are starting to we're starting to get used to the quote unquote new normal, and maybe things will be getting better and we'll get back into our weekly schedule. But it's probably going to be, you know, still a little bit of time. So it's been like over a month now since we did the episode where we just kind of reviewed a bunch of cards and we had given them all scores. I think we did, how many cards did we do? It was like 20 or something like that.
I think we each picked 5.
I think we did two of every,
two of each class,
and then we did 5 neutrals. So we had 25 5 cards. Neutrals. We had 25 cards that we went over, and we each gave it, 1 to 5 ranking, and then we had like an overall well-met score of 15.
But it wasn't a well-met score. Oh, yeah. The overall score was a well-met score,
but like Danny's scale was in donuts, so... A card was between 1 and 5 donuts. Ray's was Rona's, so a card could have anywhere from 1 to 5 Rona's.
Yeah, I was really wrong on the pandemics.
Yeah,
they were more like epidemics or.
And the interesting note about Ray's Rona's is he never, in all the cards we reviewed, he never did give a 1. So
no.
That was interesting.
That is a rare occasion for
right.
Ray.
Right.
Nothing was a cough.
Yeah. And then I had the scale of jerks. So 1 to 5 jerks is what I went with. And we only had one. So I'm not going to go over every single card, but I'm going to go over at least some of them that we had given some high scores to, and maybe a handful of them that we gave low scores to, and see how we go. And maybe we'll finish out the list next show, right? So I'm going to start off with the only card that we had all given a 5 out of 5. So a well-met score of 15. And we gave it to Maeve Shadow Song.
What a letdown, dude. That was like, oh man, that was like the Ebola outbreak.
Dude, I'm sticking with a 5 on this one. I'm sticking with a 5 for Wild. This is the card that sees the most. This is the card that sees the most play from the set.
I still feel very strongly about this card. Like, I still think it's a very good card. I just don't think it fits well in the current meta.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's still, like, on paper, that card is, like, pretty insane. But then, in reality, it just kind of was not good in at all. Really. It is good. It's still good. But, like, it's not good in the meta, and it, like, having played it, I'm just like, well, this is way more underwhelming than I had anticipated.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't think it is deserving of a well-met perfect score.
Definitely not. This was no COVID-19, that's for sure.
Like, if I were to re-review this right now, I'd probably give it a 3, maybe a 4. And the 4 would just be because I still feel strongly about the card. I just don't think it's good in the current meta for standard.
Yeah.
Danny, on the other hand, of course, has a different meta that he's
I have a different agenda, right? But I definitely, like, this is probably the card I've seen the most play percentage-wise in Wild.
Right.
Because we play a lot of Reno decks, right? And you always want to run a Silence in one of those. I think that's one of the things that your meta super... I mean, you guys run a lot less just pure singleton decks. You a lot of your, like, decks run duplicates and Zephyrus, and it's like, oh, it's a control deck. By the end of the game, I'll have Zephyrus, and it'll be online. Where just due to the fact that Reno Jackson is the full heal, like, you need to run exclusively, like... all singletons, I think that this is a little bit more prominent. So that's one thing. And I think that, I mean, this is just a better, it's probably the best silence in the game at the moment.
Right.
Just because you go through and you can play it for tempo, whereas like Spellbreaker, you can't play for tempo. I mean, you can, but it's really bad. Like, you can play this for tempo if you have to.
So here is one thing that I don't know if you've explored at all in Wild or if anybody's really done, but something that happened in Standard was that card is actually a combo activator. You charge a Raging Worgen, and the wording on charge is very weird. It says it can't attack this turn. So you charge a Raging Worgen and then make it dormant. When it becomes undormant, it just has normal charge. So you just OTK.
Interesting. I have not seen that. There are some combos, like there was a Demon combo. Would put the automaton under dormant and then you would spring it up with metamorphosis afterwards and kill that way. But that's definitely something I'm gonna go check out. I didn't know that Raging Warrior, I mean, you could run that in almost any class. Like, I think Warrior would be a good shell for that, I bet.
Yeah, it was a Warrior deck. It is a Warrior deck. Fury Hunter, who we've had on the podcast before. I believe we had him on. He's a very good player. He's got high legend with that deck and was doing really well with it. When I first played against him, I was so confused because so when it wakes up, right, it has normal charge, but then if you copy it, the copy has rush. So you can copy it and then the rushed version clears the taunt minions. Like, say I had two taunt minions, right, one game, and the rush version clears two taunt minions, and then the one with charge OTKs you and hits you for like 50 damage.
That's kind of crazy.
Even if the deck like isn't good per se, even if it's just a meme deck for fun, like that's something that I would have never thought about with that card, with my Eve Shadow Song. Like, even if those decks that utilize that effect isn't good, it's still something that's unique about the card where you can actually use it on your own minions to give yourself a combo. That's just really cool.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go over some of our high scores. I think at least ones that we've at least had one person on the show give a 5 out of. And I think that's probably what we're going to do this show. And then maybe next one we'll go over some of the others that maybe we ranked low that could potentially be ranked a little bit higher because there's a couple of those, I believe, that I would rank higher now knowing what the card was. So the next one, I'm just going to go with one that we gave a 14 to, Druid, Overgrowth, Ray and I gave it a 5. Danny gave it a 4. I still feel pretty good about this pick.
I stand corrected. This is a 5. This is like a double auto include in any Druid but most Druids. I think that you guys were right on this. I didn't expect this to be as good as it actually has turned out to be.
Yeah. Not surprised at all.
I'm not either.
I expected this to be insane. It's insane. 5 out of 5 all the way.
But JR, I think that you skipped over a card when going to Overgrowth. There's one card above it that, right, I think that I gave a 5
to. I will be going back to that. I'm doing
I think
the
you
ones
guys gave fours.
I'm doing the ones that are 14s, and we'll go to the ones that are 13. So. Okay. So I purposely skipped over it, because I'm going over the highest ranking ones that we did first. So the next one, was Encanter's Flow, the mage, spell. Once again, Ray and I both gave it a 5. Danny gave it a 4. I'm torn on this one.
Well, I still think that card's 5.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with a 5. I don't think it's as good as what I thought it was going to be, but it's still pretty damn good.
That card's still a 5. I don't care. That card is insane.
Yeah. Is that spell, or not spell list, is that minion list mage deck something that's fairly prominent in Standard?
I don't know if prominent's the word I would use, but
is it played?
It's played, yeah. It's played, but it's definitely not good enough to be tier 1. That's for sure.
Right.
But it's not nothing.
I run against it quite a bit. I see it played quite a bit.
The only time I've seen this is there were some people who were testing out Exodia Mage running Encanter's Flow to get rid of Emperor Orson. So, like, it's not super consistent in that, but you can run that deck. So you can get rid of Emperor Thorson now. and you can run whenever you can remove Emperor Thorsen from a combo deck, that kind of shows that you get to a specific point with that deck. But there are a lot of decks that are currently running Ice Block, and that's just one of the issues about our current wild meta, where you can get Ice Block off of random spells, off of Cyclone Mage. It's not really worth running at the moment.
Right.
Wait, so you don't run Ice Block because you see so many random spells that you just get it most of the time? Is that what you're saying?
I would say that you don't run Ice Block in the normal Cyclone. You do in the Reno. In the Reno deck, you're running one naturally, and just because of that, I'd say the Reno deck probably picks up about 20% of Mage decks you'll see. But you probably see around 20 random spells throughout the game of a Cyclone Mage, just out of the number of random spells you get. If you get a secret, it's fairly frequently Ice Block. I mean, it seems like that at least, because a lot of the times when you get random secrets, right, you get to choose. A lot of the things are discover, and the only time you'll discover a secret is when it's Ice Block. So a lot of times when you see secrets, it's going to be the Ice Block because the person picked it specifically because it's Ice Block. So I wouldn't say that it's fairly predominant, but it's something that's there. It's something where that's a factor, and there are some mages that are running Ice Block naturally, and then there is a chance that it will naturally get unnaturally get an Ice Block. It'll get it out of its deck. So that's a bit of a factor. I also think the deck is just too slow. That's one thing as well. Exodia Mage just getting through its entire deck takes a while now. So like Cyclone Mage is much quicker at cycling, and then just getting the 8 ticks is much quicker than getting through your deck.
Yeah.
Okay. So Cyclone Mage still the goat in wild.
It's still I think that Cyclone Mage is the combo mage deck at the moment. It replaced Exodia Mage for the moment being, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a card or two that gets introduced eventually down the line that puts Exodia back on top. But for now, I think taking an extra turn still is super powerful.
Who would have thought taking an extra turn in Hearthstone was super powerful? I would have never guessed that.
All right. So the final one that we had given a 14 overall score on, this one was Danny and Ray giving it a 5. And me saying, no, I don't think it's as good as what you guys think, and I gave it a 4, was Kaladon the Breaker, which is the Warlock minion. I'm still holding on to this. In fact, I think it might be a little bit lower.
Kaladon the... Wait, which one was it?
Kaladon the Breaker.
That's the legendary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it... Like, the potential was there, right? Like, that's the one where you draw it.
Is this the one with the prime?
No. It's the one where you draw it, it clears the board.
The fact that you guys don't even know what it does, gotcha, and you gave it a 5 tells me you probably gave it the wrong score.
No, I know what it is. I know what it is. I'm trying to, like, explain it. It's the one where you draw it. If you draw it for a turn, it clears all the minions, and then if you just play it, it clears ones. So it's like a pseudo siphon soul, but that effect is just not good right now. Like, the aggro decks are sticky outside of Zoo. The other aggro decks are literally just bursting you down from hand, which is Demon Hunter. There's no Druid decks or anything where you just want single target removal on things that go wide. Like, Priest is just a weird deck. I don't know what to say about Priest, but like, either way, it's just not good against like everything pretty much.
Yeah.
So there's just no point.
Yep.
It's just all not good, which is kind of crazy to me, but it is what it is.
Yeah. So I think even I ranked this one higher than I should have. I would probably take it down to a little bit less, maybe even a 2. I just don't see it get played at all either. So I don't know. Anyway, those were the highest ranking ones that we had given out of the 25 that we had picked. And we have some 13s that we'll go over real quick, starting with the one that Danny thought we missed. Skull of Gul'dan. Danny gave it a 5. Ray and I gave it a 4. Given a 3.
That was a misplay. That was a misplay.
That was a misplay.
That was a 5 out of 5 every time. I don't. Yeah. Are you sure I gave it a 4? Are you sure?
Yeah, you gave it a 4. I gave it a 4.
Are you sure about that? Yeah. I don't think that doesn't sound like something I would do.
We both gave it a 4, Ray.
That's not me. That must have been the other Ray. See, that wasn't me, dude. I don't think that was
young
me.
Ray. See,
yeah. That was even, the. other AC, not me.
Even with the nerf, I would still probably give this a 5 right now. It's still a good card. And yeah, I don't know why. Yeah.
I don't know what the other AC was thinking. That guy's an idiot. An idiot.
Who knew that making cards zero mana is pretty good?
I mean, I did.
Well, I did too, but for some reason, at the time that I was given a rank on this card, it wasn't clicking with me that that's what was going on.
Clearly, I don't know how to read, okay? That's what's happening here. The school system failing its children is why I gave that a 4 and not a 5.
Yeah.
Blame public education, not me. Yeah.
Blame everybody except for Ray.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You get it.
Yeah. No, Danny was clearly the only one in the group that was 100% right about this card up front. We have
got him.
Yeah. On the flip side of that, I shouldn't say on the flip side of that, because these are probably still roughly the same. Evocation, which was the mage spell, 1 mana, fill your hand with random mage spells at the end of your turn, discard them. Danny gave this a 5 out of 5 while Ray and I gave it a 4. I think Ray and I kind of graded this on standard, and you graded it on wild.
Yeah, I mean, and for wild, it is a 5, but yeah. For standard, it's probably a lot lower than a 4, I would bet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
I would probably give it a 3. I would probably give it a 3.
Like, right now it is, but also, I don't know, man. It's right now is weird because, like, okay. I need to figure out what I'm trying to say. Okay. Right now, mage is just so underwhelming compared to the good classes that it is not where it should be in terms of its rating. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that card is a 5 or a 4. It is just not in standard right now, but I think it will be in the future.
Yeah. I agree with that assessment. Beyond that, we had one other 13 here. Both Danny and Ray gave this a 5 out of 5. I gave it a 3 out of 5. And that is the Shaman Legendary, the Lurker Below, which is the 6-3, 6 mana. Deal 3 damage to an enemy minion if it dies repeat on one of its neighbors.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that, like, on paper, that card is insane, but Shaman is just so bad.
Yeah.
When there's a control Shaman, that's going to be nuts.
Yeah, like right now, Shaman is so bad that like that's not a thing or whatever. But once Shaman has its moment, y'all are going to see that card is going to be the nuts, the nutter butters.
Hold on to my assessment of this card. But I also agree with you that in the right spot with Shaman, this card will be very good. I just don't see it happening.
Not right now. But once they print a Shaman card that has, healing and AoE in the same card, like a lifesteal AoE, ooh.
Danny, is this getting played in Wild?
I mean, it definitely fits into the Shudderwalk Shamans. It's being played there, but, okay. I mean, Shudderwalk Shamans is no good at the moment, so it has found a place, so it will be played. It'll be playable, but I don't think that the meta is conducive to Shaman at the moment.
Okay. So I just don't know.
It's going to be a thing. It's going to be a thing, just not right now.
I'm glad that I bucked the trend on this one. Let's just put it that way.
Nah, this is a long-term investment, okay? Right.
This is like Bitcoin.
No, we don't talk about Bitcoin, man. Come on, man. We don't talk about Bitcoin. No, this is a long-term investment, like me investing in the airlines right now. Okay? They're going to bounce back. I'm going to get the money back. It's going to happen, okay? Right. They're not going to go bankrupt. The government's going to bail them out. Blizzard is going to bail out Shaman at some point, like they do with every class that becomes too weak. Look at what happened last time when Shaman wasn't the best class. They made it. They gave it Tunnel Trog. They gave it Totem Golem. They bailed it out, dude.
Okay.
They gave it Evolve, man. That's, you're going way far back. They gave it.
Yeah, but no, listen to me. And then they got bad again, right? When that rotated, right? It got bad. The airline started to crash. The economy of Shaman was not doing so hot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and then it got bailed out.
Okay. And then it got bailed out. Sure. I see it as more as if you had instead taken that money and invested it in AMC theaters and and Universal was like, yo, look, we made all of this money by just directly, you know, taking it to the consumer. We don't need to do this in the theaters. And AMC's like, oh, look at all this leverage I don't have. We're not going to play Universal movies anymore. And Universal's like, okay, cool. Later, nerds.
Ooh. You know what's hilarious about that is that AMC stock actually went up like $2.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that makes no sense. How does that make sense? Okay, this is just, I was like heavily, like, I had like 50 shares of AMC that I sold today. Just on this is a completely random tangent, but I cashed that shit out real quick once I saw that, dude. Because I bought in at like under $3, right? Because I was like, why not? Like, if they bounce back, it's going to be pretty cool. And then the last 2 days, dude, they went up like $2. I got like $50 off of that for no reason. Why? They literally should be getting kicked in the balls
right
now, and they're getting rewarded. It makes no sense. I don't understand anything.
Yeah. Even a dead cat bounces.
Yes, I've heard that before, but this is not, this doesn't make sense. Okay, sure, a dead cat bounces, but like, this cat already died, bounced, and then went back down again, and then somehow got revived 2 months later, jumped up in the air, and currently is stuck midair, about to die again. It all makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I think that was all the ones that we had kind of gotten a five on. So we'll talk about some of these others later, because I see a handful, like, we're getting to the end of the show here. I see a handful I want to talk about next time. For example, Underlight Angler Rod, I think, is a good one we can talk about. Soul Mirror and Reliquary of Souls. Some of these others like that. So there's probably like four or five more that we can go over. I think that would be good ones to talk about and see where we landed and if we would change. Overall, though, I think we did a decent enough job. Like, there were some definite misses, but I feel like we were close on most of them. Like, even Skull of Gul'dan, like, yeah, we gave it a 13 out of 15. It probably should have been 15 out of 15, but we still knew it was a really good card. We just didn't rank it, you know, top of the top. You know, that should have been swapped with Maeve's Shadow Song, probably.
Yeah. Like, we still recognize that they were good, though, like you said. Like, we didn't completely miss the boat. We just, we didn't invest the right time. We caught it on the, not at the bottom.
So I'll be curious to go over some of these that we ranked low and see if we should have ranked them higher. And we'll cover those next show. But, anything else that you guys wanted to talk about before we got out of here?
Danny?
I think we touched on most of the things that I was going to talk about.
All right. Sounds good then. I don't think we got any emails this week. But if you have any and you want to email us, wellmetblizzpro.com is where you would do that. And we'd love to answer your emails on the show. Got plenty of time to do it. Next show will probably be about mid-May. So,
it's true.
Yeah. If you want to help support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. $1 a month usually gets you at least early access to the show. Sometimes gets you a pre-show, post-show. Probably not this time. But we do it most of the time. I would say a good 95% of the time we usually have a pre-show and post-show. Let's see, what else do we have here? If you'd like to help support the show in other ways, you can head over to iTunes and leave a little review there, and when you leave a review, we'll read on next week's show. I didn't check before this one, so if we have any and I missed it, I'm sorry. I'll catch it on next week's show, but thank you. Beyond that, I think that covers everything that we have here. So, Ray, you have any parting words of wisdom? Any shout outs you can give? How can people get in contact with you?
Shout outs to everybody who's been supporting and watching my stream and all that stuff lately. I really appreciate it. This is a podcast that I do every week. To any of you watching right now, be sure to check it out on iTunes, Spotify. It's called Well Met Podcast. I will answer any questions you have about the show, Hearthstone, life. Doesn't matter. Go support the show. Give it a 5-star rating. We do it pretty frequently. Less so now, but it's definitely been a big part of my Hearthstone. I don't know if I would say career, but like Hearthstone endeavors in general. I've been doing this show for hundreds of episodes at this point, and I would really appreciate it if anybody who is just starting to support me now would also go support the show. It's something that I care a lot about, and that would be awesome to see it, the show get more attention as I'm starting to get more attention.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, you guys have been... So, a little bit of background. Well Met passed the 5-year mark in March. We started in March of 2015. It was me and a different group of co-hosts. Danny and Ray, I think you guys came on about 2 years ago now?
I think I've been on three.
Yeah, I think we've been around for 2.5, 3, somewhere around there, 2.5, 3 years.
It's been a while.
We came out right when Ungoro started.
All right.
I think I was a frequent guest.
Ray was on more frequently than I was.
Right, but you guys were like full-time co-hosts for... Oh, it was a while back at this point.
Did I join before Danny? I think I joined a little bit.
I think you joined a week before I did.
Yeah, you were both joined about right at the same time.
Okay.
It was very close.
It was definitely like 3 years ago at this point. So I've been doing this a long time. Even if like I stopped playing, not really stopped playing Hearthstone, but like my interest waxed and waned in Hearthstone throughout the years, like I have always been doing this. So.
Yeah, no, this is fun. Like the best part about this show, in my opinion, and the reason I continue doing it, even as, you know, my interest in Hearthstone goes up or down, I just love hanging out with you guys and talking about stuff. So that's awesome. Danny, how about you?
Well, the shout out to the team just generally, obviously, but I want to shout out to Blizzard because they did make some fairly impactful changes, and I'm very happy with all of that. I'm enjoying playing Hearthstone, which is a welcome relief at the moment with everything that's going on in just everything with like COVID and all that stuff. It's very nice to be able to play Hearthstone and have a fun time. So I'm glad that that's a thing.
Yeah. Definitely. Where can people find you at, Danny?
People can find me on Twitter at DannyDonuts_HS.
Nice. As for me, I'm also going to give a shout out to the Hearthstone team. There's something I forgot to talk about earlier, and this is a good place for me to quickly bring this up. I should have some pictures or probably a video either tomorrow or the next day of something that the Hearthstone team sent me that came in the mail today that I was not expecting at all.
Oh, and you got the Warglaives?
I got one of the Warglaives, man.
Oh, that's sick.
That thing is awesome.
Wait, did you get the Ray-Bans too?
Yeah, I got the Ray-Bans.
Fight you for them. Straight up, dude. I'll fight you for them. I need those. Like,
best
on God.
Of five, dude.
Yeah, best of five, dude.
Yeah.
For the Ray-Bans. Let's go. 1v1 me.
I got the Ray-Bans. I got the jacket and a hat that came in the Warglaives box thing. And I'll post a video of it. Like, that thing is super cool. Like, I had heard something about like people getting something with Warglaives, and I'm like, what's that? I didn't go look at their posts or anything. And so when I got the box in the mail, I'm like, what the heck is this? It's like this huge box. And I opened it up and I'm like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing. I was so excited. And
oh my God, I'm so jealous right now.
Yeah, so I'm going to post a video of that for sure. Unfortunately, it won't be a video of me opening it because I had no idea what I was getting. I wish I would have done that earlier, but it's pretty cool. pretty cool. So I want to give a big thanks to the Hearthstone team for thinking of me on that. And it really made my birthday. So thank you for that.
Oh, you got it on your birthday? Oh,
I got it today. I got it today. So day after my birthday.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's wholesome.
Yeah. And if you want to follow me over on Twitter, at Eldorian is where you would find me. So anyway, thanks for joining us for episode 233 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. And also tweet us at Well Met Podcast, or like I said earlier, email us at wellmetblizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Butnew for our amazing intro music and the music you're hearing right now. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you all next week.